Jane Irving, one of the lead specialists in the Professional Learning and Leadership Team in Education Scotland. Welcome to this podcast, which is part of a series of resources exploring and exemplifying the national model of professional learning. The national model has been in use since 2018 and was co-constructed with the General Teaching Council for Scotland, local authorities, university partners, professional associations, and of course, teachers and practitioners from across Scotland. Through exploring the national model, we are seeking to build a shared understanding around professional learning and to demystify and exemplify aspects of the model by showing them in practice, in different settings and at different stages of a learning journey. At the centre of all of these stories, we will highlight the direct link between the learning that we undertake as educators and the impact of that learning on those we support, be that children, young people or adult learners. Joining me today are Tanya Chaika from City of Edinburgh Council and Lynn Jones and Karen Folds from Scotland's National Centre for Languages. Welcome everybody. I'm so excited to hear more about this journey and I will hand over to Lynn to start the conversation.
Thank you so much, Janie. It's a real pleasure to be here. I'm going to launch right in. So Tanya, you and I, we've known each other a wee while now, haven't we? I think I knew you as a puppeteer first before you went into early years. And my recollection, I think we were introduced by a mutual friend in about 2015 or something. But I have a feeling, I think I'm right in saying that your kind of inquiring, curious brain was thinking over ways how to combine those two things, the puppetry and the early years experience that you already had, how you might combine those together. You were thinking about that a long time before we even met. So can you say something about why and how your wonderings around that kind of started?
Thank you for having me here. Thank you. Since I was a little child, really, I've always enjoyed making things and telling stories and writing, reading. So I call it playing with words. So that's been my thing since I was little. And when I moved to Scotland and I started working in nurseries, I found the power of play really, really fascinating. I could see children learning so much through their everyday life in nursery. And I also became aware I was bilingual and that maybe I could play with French words with the children. So I started exploring different ways of doing this, maybe games, songs, and different tones of voices, that kind of thing. And that was really the start of my wandering. And I was in my 20s then, so when I moved to Scotland. It really came naturally to me because I'm French. I wanted to share my French language with them, with the children. But this wondering kept growing and more specific questions started coming into my head, like, would the children understand the words I was saying? Would they enjoy the activities? Would they remember some of the words and maybe use them in different contexts? So all this kind of thinking started going on in my head. I was bilingual, I was bathing in the play environment, and I knew I was on the learning journey by then. And that if I kept digging or wondering, something would come out. I just didn't know what at that point. So that's how it started, really. Quite naturally.
That's really interesting, Tanya. Thank you just for sharing your sort of where it all began, really, in terms of your wonderings. And it's really quite an interesting story that you do have to share with us all. So you and I we don't know each other, or we do, but I haven't known you as long as Lynn has. I've just known you for a few years now when we have been working together, and it's been a pleasure being part of your journey and your wanderings. But what I would like to ask you now is, thinking about your learning journey as an inquiring practitioner, and the niggles that you have had around play and language learning. Did your wonderings develop over time and your thinking and practice evolved? And how did you take things forward? What did you do? What was your next steps at that point?
Okay, so really, my wanderings have kept developing over, they developed over 20 years. It kept developing, really. it was one thing leading to another in a quite organic way, I would say. I was learning and strengthening my values and my strong belief in teaching languages through play with every venture I was setting up. So I worked in nurseries for a few years, and then for different reasons, in 2004, I moved out of the early years sector and I started working with people with learning disabilities. So I stayed in the care sector, but doing different things. This was part-time, so I had the time and the space to develop my own making and storytelling skills. So this was great for me. And this is when I set up my puppet theatre company, Le Petit Monde. Because before leaving nurseries, I had realized that puppets were a fantastic play-based, imaginative, creative tool for learning. So I was decided I was going to make my own French puppets and they would only speak French. So that's what I did. I made my puppets, I wrote bilingual scripts, so where the puppets spoke French and I told the story in English. And I toured festivals, I also ran workshops and classes in nurseries at the French Institute. I called them plain French classes. In the Institute, we had babies coming along with their parents, and we had all ages up to 5 years old. And really, the common point of all these activities I did is that they were all based on puppetry. So me manipulating puppets, introducing my French language through puppets that only spoke French. And they were all based on play and creativity. They were all fun, really. Fun things to do for the children.
So after that, yeah. How did that develop after that, Tanya? That experience?
So I did that for a few years. I learned lots and lots. And I realized the shows were quite popular. It was working really well. So in 2017, with my brother, we decided to create a picture book based on the characters. So I wrote in the same way, a bilingual, but accessible way where the children can understand the French without being translated. And we printed a few copies of that book to test, to see how it would be received by parents, the children, obviously, and also teachers. So I visited schools where I would read the book and do a little puppet show to go with it. And the feedback from the teachers was really positive. They appreciated the bilingual but accessible style of writing I was using. They were telling me that the children could understand the vocabulary and therefore could engage with the language that was used in the story. So this gave me the boost of confidence I needed to continue in my wandering. It was heartwarming, it was touching, and I had to continue.
So in terms of continuing, Tanya, what were your next steps? Because your wanderings were still there. So how did you try and satisfy them? What was your next step?
So the next step was to the next year, actually, I returned to the earlier sector. With a part-time post in the nursery, because at the same time I enrolled in a master's in education. So my proposal was vague. It was really, I knew I wanted to create resources or a program of some kind to teach languages through play and puppetry. But that's all I knew. I didn't know what shape it would take. Still, so studying part-time, working in a nursery, both fed each other, and I learned lots. And that helped my wandering journey evolve, really. And the big thing, the big discovery in the through my research, through the masters, was creative puppetry. So creative puppetry is a method, a technique, where adults and children make their own puppets together. They design, they manipulate and make them together to retell stories or songs. And there is no stage, there's no performance at the end, it's just play. So you can imagine that was appealing to me. It was actually a really huge step in my journey, because so far I had been the maker, the storyteller, and the manipulator. So this was very different. And what I also discovered is that creative puppetry, as far as I knew, had not been used in the language learning context. So I was ready to explore this and see how it would go. So so I decided to explore creative puppetry for French. So in the masters, we did two case studies. And I work with teachers where we explore this approach together. For this, we followed a lesson study research model by Dudley. It was really, really appropriate to what we were doing, because it's very, it's a very democratic, collaborative process where we're all learners in the study. So that really suited me. For the story, we used my picture book, Lapin is Hungry, because I couldn't find any other suitable one, really. And yes, the teacher worked with their classes and delivered some lessons based on the approach that I was developing. And their feedback was really, really positive. So it was really a rich experience. Oh, and by then, the Realizing the Ambition Being Me guideline was out. So it really felt like all these years of working, developing things and leading to the masters, it was all starting to link to the play pedagogy that Scotland was embracing through the RTA. So it was really interesting and an important time in my journey anyway. So if you imagine I'm on a ladder, I'm climbing ladders. I'm climbing the steps on the ladder.
I get that. And everything just sort of dovetailed together at that point. Yeah. And so then what happened after that? Because this is where things change a bit.
Yeah. So once I finished the masters, I thought, okay, I need to, the next step is to contact yourselves, Lynn and you, Karen. I suggested the idea of sharing the Creative Puppetry for Languages approach on a national scale through SILT. Of course, we were still in a global pandemic by then. So that's what I did. I approached you.
And I have to say, we're so glad that you did.
We are, yeah.
Thank definitely. You so much. It was an amazing experience.
Because I remember at that point, Karen, you and I were we were curious about Tanya's approach. We kind of knew it, familiar with it a wee bit, because we knew Tanya a wee bit. But the wonderings about taking it to a national level, we had different wonderings than Tanya, which is very practice focused. Our kind of priorities around the professional learning in the field of languages. What were you going to say there?
Yeah, I was just going to say, because although, as you say, Lynn, we had some knowledge of Tanya's work because we knew that she'd done her pilot in a smaller scale. But we were thinking, how do we make this work in a global pandemic when we're really going to have to do everything online. How's that going to work with educators across early years contexts across the country? How can we do this?
Because it's a very hands-on kind of pedagogy.
Indeed.
Uh-huh. Literally making things. So, yeah. So there was that. However, Karen and I, never ones to be put off, both of us at different times have been involved in Education Scotland's teacher leadership programme. Both of us have been involved at different times. Is it fair to say that we adopt a kind of inquiring approach to what we do? It's not in the classroom, it's around supporting teacher learning, but yeah, would you agree with that, Karen?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And we really had to transfer our skills that we had developed within the, you know, within our role itself, but also taking on board the skills that we developed in supporting teacher learning to make it happen.
Yeah.
So we wanted it to be a success.
We did. We wanted it to be a success. We were prepared to take the risk. And when we put, I'm just thinking back to when we put a call out for interest, we were so surprised. Tanya, you as well, I can see you grinning. Well, surprised / mildly terrified, because we received, what was it, over 130, I think, expressions of interest from all over Scotland. So that was just, it seemed to indicate that there was an interest from practitioners as well. So it's like, oh, well, we better do something then. Mm-hmm. And how many, in the end, ultimately, we worked with how many, Karen?
So we worked with 20 establishments in two blocks of 10. So in total, we worked with 40 practitioners. And I think overall, we had an impact on over 600 children. And we worked with teachers who are not just teachers, I should say, practitioners working within an early years context. Within different contexts, we had people working in a rural context, with people working in inner city context. So it was really, really diverse, the group of people that we worked with. And yet technology was very much our friend here, because we were able to use it as to our advantage and really make it happen for our teachers and for the young people that were involved.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Karen. I think Tanya, what a development though over that period from you as an early years practitioner kind of thinking, oh, play with words, you know, use my home language. Uh-huh. And then gradually it develops to something that appeals to practitioners working all over the country. We kind of package it up to work with practitioners in 20 different places around the country, just because we're starting out with, you know, as I say, we're taking a risk in the first instance, trying to facilitate this very practical pedagogy online and remotely, all in the one thing. So it is quite a development over a period. For you though, Tanya, in terms of impact, can you say anything about, is there any difference between what you originally thought might be the impact when you started and what the actual impact has turned out to be?
Well, yeah, massive difference. first of all, before I go into the impact, I'd like to say what my aim or my intended outcome was when I first started in nursery using my language. I've always thought it's important for the children I wanted to support them developing their confidence, their self-esteem through using a different language. Acquiring language skills, it is important, of course, but I really wanted the children to become confident and happy learners. I think that's a foundation in learning. That's important to me. So that's what I wanted, and that's what I still want. So in view of that, for many years, I gathered feedback from parents and teachers, children's drawings as well, of course, or words. So that's what I used to check the impact, I would say. So I got constructive feedback from parents, really positive. And so that helped me to move along each time. I've got one here. Would you like a quote from a parent? I've got a quote from one of the parents who attended the play in French classes with his little girl. It was interesting. He said that she's been playing along with Tania and Petit Lapin, another puppet, since she was 5 months old. Now she's two. She sings Frère Jacques and even talks to her toys in French. As her language skills develop, she handles English, French, Italian and Spanish phrases in her stride and is set up for life. So that was amazing. Big to me. Yeah, that was huge to me. I wouldn't have known that if he had not written it down for me. So I got similar feedback from some other parents or, you know, their children coming to my classes in nurseries. And one thing that I really did not expect to hear or to find out is that children would take their learning home and even using French words on their own, in their own play with their teddies and dolls and toys. So that was really not expected.
No, I bet. So, I wonder though, those kinds of occasions, it seems as if that was, you were maybe getting a bit ad hoc, the feedback that you were getting. It was because people decided to share with you rather than you kind of going out systematically. So when did that change come about? Because you have got, I know that you have got that in your locker. So can you tell us a wee bit about how it became a bit more sustained and systematic?
I learned to measure the impact of my work through the masters, really. Before that, it would be me asking feedback here and there, and storing it in my laptop somewhere. But measuring the impact of the work was very different, and I learned that through the masters.
And what types of tools were you using then in that case?
So for the masters, I worked with three teachers from the same school, and the project was really focused on their learning. So I gathered evidence of their working context, their confidence in teaching French, their thoughts about the approach. I did all this through individual questionnaires. So they were, I conducted interviews with them that I recorded and transcribed. When we did a professional learning partnership, we sent questionnaires. That was a bit different.
That's right.
But it was the same idea. So pre-intervention questionnaires and post-intervention questionnaire. And we also had weekly group debriefs with the teachers, and we did the same for the PLP, and that was really important in gathering data as well.
So in terms of impact from us though, Karen, like I said before, our wonderings were around the effectiveness of supporting teachers to learn and to apply this very practical pedagogy, but doing that through an online platform. Mm-hmm. So do you remember what the effect of the feedback was on us and our wonderings?
Yeah, I mean, the feedback that we got from the teachers that were involved was so positive. Yeah, it did. It blew our minds, actually, if I'm being honest.
Yes.
You know, because teachers came to this particular project and, you know, they weren't all confident with teaching French. You know, they all had variable degrees of confidence in teaching languages. So, you know, for them to come and do this and take this on board at a time when things were quite unsettled in schools with COVID and restrictions, et cetera, and doing it in an online way, you know, the evaluations that come through to us, sharing such positivity about it, were just wonderful for us to read. You know, you had teachers saying things like, oh, it's really changed the way I will deliver French going forward. And one of the key phrases that we do pick out, and we sort of hold this close to our heart, is where one of the teachers said, it brought me such joy to watch the children progress. In fact, we had some teachers, educators, practitioners share with us some of the real things that happened to young children in their care. For example, one educator shared with us that they had a child who hadn't uttered a sound, and they were a selective mute. And through the work that they'd been involved in the project, the Early Years Creative Puppetry project, this child started to respond to the activities and to start to create some sounds. So the tears began to fall from our faces at this point. So it really was so impactful. But really, what we're seeing is, and what we read was, people were inspired to continue to use this approach when teaching languages in their school or in their early year setting. And that's really what we wanted to see happen. And indeed, they've told us that they're wanting to share this beyond their school, within their clusters, within
their
local
secondary
authority.
Colleagues.
I know.
At the college for the childhood practitioner students.
Exactly. You know, so yeah. It really, you know, in terms of knowledge exchange, it's just been huge. It really has.
Yeah. I'd love to hear about the secondary colleague. How it's going. Yeah. I'd love to know more.
Well, I think the secondary colleague within the particular cluster, I can't remember which cluster it was, but they were so intrigued having heard about the work that was going on in the particular school setting. They just wanted to know more about it. So, but I can't remember exactly where it was. Lynn, can you remember?
I'm not sure, but what I will say is, some people were very enthused and were desperate to share the learning that they had taken from the project with lots of people outside their setting. But even if other people who took part, they didn't keep it to themselves. They might not have shared beyond their setting, but they definitely were talking to their stage partners or their colleagues. And if they were in a primary school, definitely up the school. As much as, you know, in the, because it was primary one was the kind of older students involved. It was really fascinating. Mm-hmm. And the other thing was that some of the settings chose to use it as a transition from nursery mm-hmm. into yes. primary. Mm-hmm. And I think that brought a lot of learning as well around the whole process of that. So,
And the other thing is that one of our colleagues who was part of the project had adopted the same approach, but for a different language. The approach had been adopted to support Gaelic teaching and learning. So it was interesting to see that transform on the back of this.
What I'm just going to finish off this little bit here about impact in terms of professional learning from the SILT point of view. I would say the key, I don't know if you agree, but I would say that the key was definitely genuine teamwork and a shared understanding right from the start. Nobody's coming with all the knowledge here. We're all here to learn off of each other. So Tanya, you had the French and the puppetry and the early years experience, but you didn't have the professional learning necessarily. So Karen and I, we brought the French and the professional learning, but we didn't have the play. And the understanding about that, we didn't know about the puppetry and the practitioners. Karen already said there's a kind of a varying amount of French knowledge there, but they had the early years experience and the play as well. So I think that was the key, was that we were definitely everybody learning something from everybody else. And that was clear from the start. And that's what kind of took us through. People were some people were a bit anxious about, the technology, jam boards, Padlets here, team meetings every week, all of this. But actually, it worked. It did work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. some were worried about making puppets as well, do you remember? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But actually it worked really well. We used a very simple technique, and yeah, there was lots of freedom, I think, as well, enough freedom and no pressure. So that worked really well.
And you were wonderful at troubleshooting the questions that came from those practitioners, even though their settings were very different to each other's, to yours, yeah, actually. And yet, oh, well, you know, you've got a smaller group, you're asking me about this, maybe you could try that. And the only reason you could troubleshoot in that way is because you brought so much experience with you. So it was yeah, amazing to watch. It certainly was.
Just as you say, Lynn, we couldn't have done it without each other. It was very much a collaborative effort. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, but anyway. So, Tanya.
Last so long, you couldn't keep it running forever and ever, so it did come to an end after about, what was it, in total, the each project from start to finish with us. We've not stopped there, really. We've both sides have done more, haven't we? Gone on to take it further.
That
your question? Sorry if I kind of jumped in.
No, you froze a couple of times there, so
sorry.
No, that's fine. No, but the other thing that I was going to say is I know that we have seen other practitioners who were not involved in the project using the lesson model as well. We've seen other people who've obviously heard from other colleagues that have been applying it in other early years contexts as well. So that's great as well. But anyway, as Lynn had said, that's where we're at just now. But as inquiring practitioners, all of us, our wonderings never stop, do they, Tanya?
No. So, no.
What do you see yourself as doing next, Tanya? What do you see your next steps as being?
I'm going to continue sharing the creative puppetry for languages approach in any way I can with different audiences. That's my passion now. I really believe in it, and we know it works. So that's what I'm doing. I'm writing articles about this, but also to support the development of the approach, I'm working on another bilingual picture book featuring Lapin and the same characters with more French in it. And I'm thinking about developing more bilingual texts, but for older children as well. Mm-hmm. So there's more writing in my head, more work to do, more puppets to make, and just explore. I continue exploring, really. I don't think I ever want to stop.
So. Yes, well, that's interesting to know, and we look forward to seeing more things in the future, because we do know that you do have these other irons in the fire that you're looking to explore, Tanya.
Yeah.
So that's interesting, look at it from your perspective. But Lynn, thinking about the work that we do at SILT within a professional learning context, how can we take this forward in terms of what we do?
Similar to Tanya, we've started already, haven't we, sharing the professional learning angle, the learning we got from that. We've started speaking about that in courses and writing about that. But I think also the success, for me certainly, it gave me confidence to take those types of risks and, you know, carry on, and also to seek out innovative, holistic pedagogies that will support ideally home and taught languages in early years and school settings, and create those opportunities for practitioners to learn about them and, you know, become skilled themselves and try them out. I don't know if that's the same for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we had a conversation just the other day about that very thing when we were discussing this, the podcast actually, and just thinking how puppets can be used you know, effectively to support language teaching and learning. But we have to remember that many children in our schools and nurseries have more than one language, and we should allow them the opportunity to explore them, but exploring them in a way that allows them to express their creativity. And, you know, there are so many things that we could do around this, and it is, it's looking out for opportunities that would allow us to develop this further.
Yeah.
I've just been smiling away and listening to these stories and just feeling so inspired and thinking, you know, all of this came from one person's inquiry into their own practice. And that's kind of really what this exploration into the national model is all about. It's about us thinking, you know, what happens when you start inquiring into your own practice, when you are curious about it, when you start asking those questions, when you start looking for other ways of doing things and being creative about it, and just thinking about how that has led to those sort of, with that support obviously through the fact that you were undertaking your master's at the time, undertaking that professional learning yourself, how that then led to that development of that national kind of community of practice and that professional learning, along with Len and Karen, and supporting so many other teachers to look at their practice, find those creative ways, try these things out, and actually build on their own learning. And I just think it's fascinating to see that journey from, you know, curious inquiring practitioner to national practice, and changing the way that we do things. So, you know, I just want to end this almost by saying, you know, well, A, thank you so much for coming and sharing your story, because I think it's absolutely fascinating, and hearing the impact on learners and how the families were talking about it and on the teachers. But also, just to people out there, what are you thinking now? What reflections do you have about what you've heard today? You know, what are you curious about? What have you been inquiring into? What impact has that started to have on your own practice, on the learners that you work with? And how are you sharing this learning, whether that is with the small scale, with the colleagues in your setting, your stage partners, with people in your clusters, or even, you know, are you getting to that stage where, like Tanya, you might want an opportunity to share it more broadly? And if that's the case, we want to hear from you, and we want to find out more about what you're doing.